being a problem with the camera, but we're trying to work on that. But I'll start anyway.
Okay, I'm just unmuting you. They can't see you. You have to tell them.
Please help me. Can you see if you can walk in?
Okay.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Okay, now we can hear you. Now we can hear you, yeah.
Okay, we're still working on the camera, but my son is working on it. But, okay, you'll hear me, Bez Hashem. Okay, good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to see everybody. Hopefully you'll be able to see me soon. Please take a chair. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Bereishis. And there are a lot of interesting mitzvahs in Bereishis, etc. Let's begin with the pasuk Vayichal Elokim Bayom Hashvi. Lachto Asher Asa. So means Hashem Vayichal Elokim Bayom Hashvi means Hashem completed his malacha on the seventh day. So if you complete something on the seventh day, so that means you were still doing malacha on the seventh day. You completed it on the seventh day. So what does that mean? I thought Hashem didn't do malach on Shabbos. So what does it mean that he completed it on the seventh day? Because completing the seventh day has the implication that that he's still working on the seventh day and he completed on the seventh day. So Rashi...
It's not going to work.
Try to just hold it. Or maybe who needs to try? Rashi has two pshatim to answer this question. Okay, the question is, we always assume that we don't do malach on Shabbos because HaKadosh Baruch Hu completed the world in the 6 days, and he didn't and the seventh day he didn't work, whatever that means. But here it says, Vayichal Elokim Bayom Hashvi. It means he finished on the seventh day. But if you finish on the seventh day, it means you were still working on the seventh day. So Rashi says two pshatim to answer this question. The first answer is Rab Shimon Omer Basav Adam She'enu Yodei Ita V'Rugav Sarachal Hosif Michol HaKodesh. That a person who is a Basav Adam, you want to keep Shabbos, right? And you're a Basav Adam. You're a regular, normal person. So, and you want to keep Shabbos. So you're not going to be able to work till the very second. Because you can make a mistake. If you go to the buzzer, so to speak, you're gonna go over a little bit, perhaps. So therefore you have to stop malacha a little bit earlier. You have to stop malacha a little bit earlier. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he could go to the buzzer, so to speak. He could work to the very last second, and he'll be able to mitzamtzem to be able to do malacha till the very last second. And he still won't work on Shabbos. But if a human being would try to do that, he'll be over. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, "Basav Adam she'eni yodei ito v'rgav tzarich lahosiv michol al hakodesh." HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'yodei ito v'rgav nichnas bo kechut hasara. Venira. Now these are the key words. Ki'ilu kol bo bayom. So if a person is working from the, I'll call you Yehudi if I need you. If a person, hopefully for the time being, you can see me. A person could, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is working to the last moment, so it looks ki'ilu he went over, but he knows the exactitude that he didn't really go over. So it means Vayichal Elokim from the perspective of the human being, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu went over a little bit, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do it to the last split second, which looks ki'ilu he went over. And that's what it means he finished on the seventh, because he worked to the very last second. But another human being, a human being, they're going to have to stop early. Because if they don't stop early, you're going to what? You're going to mess over. And this is one of the discussions of the mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos, of adding on to Shabbos. Because if you don't add on to Shabbos, you're gonna mistake. You're gonna come to be Mechal Shabbos. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do it to the last second, and when he's doing it to the last second, it looks ki'ilu he worked on Shabbos. So that's why it says Vayichal Elokim by Yom HaShvi'i. From the perspective of someone else seeing him, it would look ki'ilu he... That was the first pshat. And the other pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked on the seventh day, he created Menucha. Mahaya Olam Chasim Menucha, Ba Shabbos Ba Menucha. And that's considered a creation, Menucha. So those are the two answers that Rashi gives in Chumash. Oh. So now, Rabosei, there is a big machlokas, which we're all familiar with, machlokas haposkim, about when, what's the cutoff point? When does Shabbos begin? And again, whatever shita you hold, you have to be mosif, because that's the mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos. There is a discussion in the poskim, do you have to physically articulate, I am mekabel Shabbos now, before Shkia? Or is it enough that you don't do malacha? Is it enough that you don't do malacha? Even though you didn't physically... Because, look, we go to shuls today. How does it usually work? I assume in New York, I assume California is probably no different. That there's candle lighting time. And then usually they announce mincha, usually like 10 minutes after the candle lighting time. Right? So when they finish mincha and shul, your mamish going to the buzzer. Right? So the question is, so where's the mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos? So if you assume the mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos, if you assume the mitzvah is that you have to articulate that you're Mekabel Shabbos, then there's a big problem, because if you articulate you're Mekabel Shabbos before Shkia, then perhaps you're not allowed to daven mincha anymore, because you were Mekabel Shabbos. But if you don't articulate that you're Mekabel Shabbos, then you didn't do the mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos. So how is it gonna work together? So if you daven mincha early, you know, some people like to daven mincha early on Friday, but that doesn't work good for balabatim, because you know, balabatim, they're not davening mincha early. If you're in yeshiva, you can daven mincha 1:30 to, you know, and then you come early and you mekabel Shabbos and you already daven mincha. So one pshat is that some Bichel, others, that perhaps Willig, I think, that Mi'ikar Adin, it could be that according to some poskim, you don't have to articulate Kabbalah Shabbos. That Kabbalah Shabbos just means that you're not doing malacha before Shkia. Just like the Rashi and Chumash says. That you just have to give yourself a leeway. You just have to give yourself a leeway not to do malacha. So even though you could still be davening minchan afterwards. Because it's not a din that you have to mekabel Shabbos early. That's how some say. Some say it's a din that you have to mekabel Shabbos early. And others say, no, it's not a din that you have to mekabel Shabbos early. It's just a din that you have to stop malacha early. And those are the two opinions. Whether the mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos is not to give yourself leeway, just stop doing malacha. Don't do malacha till the buzzer. If that be the case, then everything works out fine. Just make sure you come into shul before Shkia, and even though you're going to be davening mincha up to the buzzer, but so what? You mekayim the mitzvah of not doing malacha till the buzzer, like Rashi says in the Chumash. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do malacha till the very last minute. But if you hold that you need to be mekabel Shabbos, so then it becomes more complicated. Because if you verbally have to articulate that I am mekabel Shabbos now, so then it's a question whether then you're allowed to daven mincha. Rav Amadi pointed out that it could be that if it's just a Kabbalah Shabbos biyachid, and it's not a communal Kabbalah Shabbos, then you maybe still could daven mincha after that. But that's the question. So now the question is, when is this cutoff point? When does the cutoff point begin? So this is a big machlokas haposkim, right? So the Vilna Gaon's opinion is shkia, right? Shkia is the time. Once it's sunset, so then you can't do malacha anymore. And then if you do malacha after sunset, that's bein hashmashos. So then it's a suffix. It's a suffix, a chiyuv skila. I remember one Shabbos several years ago, we were going to my in-laws for Shabbos. We live in Washington Heights. They live in the Lower East Side. It's not such a long ride. And we gave ourselves ample time. But there was a tractor trailer or something that went on the FDR and that wasn't supposed to go. And that caused a tremendous backup of traffic. And I didn't know whether we could. And after a certain time, I told my wife, there's no way we're going to get there on time for Shabbos. It's just not going to happen. So the only thing we have to make sure to do is to park the car before Shkia. That's our goal. We have to park the car before Shkia. So we went into a lot. We parked the car. We had 2 minutes to spare. And we put all our belongings in the car. And then we had to decide, so now what? So it was a 2-hour walk from our destination. Or we could knock on someone's door in the Upper East Side and invite ourselves over. But that was a decision made by the grandchildren, my children, who said, of course, we're going to Safta for, you know, that's not a question, you know, for Shabbos. And we walked the 2 hours. And we told them that we don't know what's going to happen. And then we walked for 2 hours and we got there. Because the minhag in America today is to follow the Vilna Gaon on Friday. Even though you'll see that in Europe they didn't always, especially in different, they didn't follow the Vilna Gaon. But this was a meeting they had to Tovshin Yudalit, or whatever, the Satmar Rebbe, and all the big, they wanted it to be one uniformed thing. That it shouldn't be people, some people are still driving in their cars, and other people are making Shabbos, that should be, because in America they felt that would just cause, there's so much Chil Shabbos in America anyway, so at least the people, the Shomrei Shabbos, should at least be on the same page. And that's what, and that's became the minhag that everyone accepted. I mean, I can't say because there's that's the Vilna Gaon. So once it's Shkia, that's it. That's Safek Yom Safek Laila, and then according to the Vilna Gaon, Meikar Adin, it's 13.5 minutes in Israel, and that's already Tzeis HaKachavim. But in America, it's longer. So it could be 20, 25, or something like that. But it's not too much longer. And that's the Vilna Gaon's opinion. The Vilna Gaon's opinion is that from Shkia is already Bein HaShmashos, Safek Yom, Safek Laila, so therefore you can't do any Malacha. And then 13.5 minutes after Shkia is Tzeis HaKachavim in Israel. And in America, in New York, or whatever, it'll be 20, 25, etc. And that's it. So the minhag is not to be makel to end Shabbos 20, 25 minutes after. That we don't follow the Vilna Gaon on. We follow the Vilna Gaon at least on the starting of Shabbos. That we're not going to do any malacha after Shkia. That was the meeting that the Rabbanim had. I think it was around Tovshin Yudalit or something like that. That they had this meeting that they're going to all have a uniformity. Because the Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is that for the first 58 and a half minutes after Shkia, you could still be driving your car. And Bein HaShemeshes is only from 58 and a half to 72. So that's a huge difference. According to a minute of time, you're still driving your car till around 58 and a half minutes after Shkia, L'chatchila. And according to the Vilna Gaon, you're a Mechal Shabbos. You're Chayv Skila. It's such a fascinating idea that you have that according to one Shita, L'chatchila, you're driving your car, Gezunta Heit. And according to the Gra, you're a Mechal Shabbos. Because according to the Vilna Gaon, the Bein HaShemeshes is the period that everyone agrees it's a 13 and a half minute period. But there's a 13 minute period from Shkia, another 13 and a half? Or from the 13 and a half is from 58 and a half to 72. That's where the suffix is. Before that, it's still Vadayom. Wow. It's just... But you have to realize another thing, Rabbi Osei. And let me tell you this. What is the definition of night? The definition of night, Al Pi Din, is three stars. Three stars. And it's not pshat that the Vilna Gaon and the Rabbeinu Tam are arguing whether it's three stars. Not everyone agrees that it's Gimel Kochov and Beinanim. Okay, we're Machmir, it should be Ketanim. But it's three stars. So how can you have a machlokes? In other words, in Eretz Yisrael is where they're talking about in Bavel. That because you have to realize like this. The Dain Meir Posen in his Sefer writes that the klal is the closer you are to the equator, the quicker it gets dark. Marshal Mahadover Domer, like Rav Posen writes in his Sefer. If you have a basketball and you twirl the basketball, right? So the part by the thicker part of the basketball is going quicker than the top of the basketball or the bottom of the basketball because it's covering more territory. The top is just having little circles. The thick part is bigger. So the same thing. The closer you are to the equator, the quicker. So Eretz Yisrael is moving... It's not something that we could chop in our own sense. But we see in Eretz Yisrael, once it's sunset, it gets dark very quick. In America, it takes much longer because we're further away from the equator. So whatever machlokus there was, Rabbeinu Tam and the Vilna Gaon, was about Eretz. Was in Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, and then we have to extrapolate. To the rest of the world. Depending upon how further away you are from the equator, you're going to be going slower, at a slower pace, and therefore it's going to get darker later. So this is the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam. And you should know, Gedolei, it's quoted, I heard it was, that even Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the Halakha Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he kept Rabbeinu Tam. Even Lakula. It means in our standards today, Chas v'Shalom to say such a thing, but in our standards today, we would consider that Chil Shabbos. We would consider that Chil Shabbos. Because he held, you could do Malacha till around 58 and a half minutes. Wow. But everyone agrees it's a din in the stars. Oh, so getting back to my question. So what's the machlokes? Like Rav Shechter mentioned, it seems like the machlokes in Metzius. But L'chora, it can't be a machlokes in Metzius. It's a machlokes in Metzius. I'll tell you, there was a man, his name was Rav Shraga Feivel Paretsky. I don't know if you heard of him or knew him or whatever. He was the bochin in YU, after Rav Mendel Zaks. Rav Mendel Zaks was the Chofetz Chaim's son-in-law. He lived on the west side of Manhattan. and he was the Bochen in YU. And after him, his successor was a man by the name of Shraga Feivel Peretzky, who lived in the Bronx, and he also learned in Radin, and he knew the Chofetz Chaim. And he told me, Rav Peretzky told me, that when he was in Radin already, the Chofetz Chaim wasn't coming to the yeshiva. He was already old, elderly. But the boys would come to his house towards the end of Shabbos, and he would give a shmooze, the Chofetz Chaim. And then he had to decide, when are we going to daven Maariv? So he would send the shamus out, say, go look to see if there are three stars. And then we'll daven Maariv. And Rabbi Peretzky told me if the Chofetz Chaim felt that his shmooze was getting a little bit long, he would say, you don't have to go out. The stars are there. Because that's before they had the prima calendars and the technology. They just went. They went outside. They saw the stars. So how could you have a machloikas? How can you have a machloikas when the three stars are? And not only a machloikas, but such a huge machloikas. Is the three stars at 13 and a half minutes, or is it at 72? How could you have such a machlokas? So what's, how can that be? Oh, so there's a sefer that came out many years ago called Oros Chaim by Rav Chaim Druk. It's a sefer on Zmani Hayom, and he quotes from Tosis Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, and Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer in the Haskama said, this pshat that he gives us will now, you see, a lot of people don't take they don't take Rabbi Natan seriously because they say the stars are there much earlier. So what are you telling me? 72 minutes? I mean, you know, I live in Manhattan, so I can't see the stars, because there's pollution of the street lights. I once spent Shabbos in the mountains. Even the mountains, depends where you are, whether you're going to be able to. It has to be a clear night. It has to be a So he writes, Tosef Yehuda Chassid, he says, you know what the machlokas is, Rabbeinu Tam? And is the three stars anywhere in the sky? Well, maybe it's only three stars in the west. Because three stars in the west, you're not going to see, because the sun is setting in the west. So then, unless it gets very dark, you're not going to be able to see those three stars. But if it's three stars anywhere in the horizon, so that's the Gaon Shita. Three stars anywhere in the horizon. Three medium-sized stars. And the Rabbeinu Tam Shita is, it has to be three stars, dafka what? In the west. And that is how Tosfos Rabbi Yehuda Chassid explains the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. And Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer was so excited that someone finally found the correct, what he considers the correct pshat in understanding this. Oh. However, the problem is like this. Lechora, it can't be equal. In other words, this idea of 72 minutes, we keep 72 minutes the whole year round. Lechora doesn't set with reality. Because based on the seasons, it's going to be different. Right? So there is a sheet of the Prima Gadim. No, 72 minutes Shavos. That means whatever time in the world you are, every time, it's always 72. Ah, but the Metzius is that 72 minutes in the summer is not going to be as dark as 72 minutes in the winter. So what? That's the shear. 72 minutes. Oh, but there is a Shita of a contemporary. I mean, it's based on earlier sources, probably, but the name of the person was Rabbi Meir Posen, still alive today, Baruch Hashem. He was in London, and now he is in Kiryas Sefer in Eretz Yisrael. And he says, no. That's not the pshat in Rabbeinu Tam. He says, you really want to keep, and this Rabbi J. David Bleich told me once. He says, and if you don't keep this shita of Rav Meir Posen, then you're not really keeping Rabbeinu Tam. And what's the shita? And then we start. So the shita is 16, in some calendars you'll see this, 16.1 degrees. What does that mean? Was I told you before that 72 minutes was only set in Bavel in Eretz Yisrael because they're closer to the horizon. So it's going quicker. But once you get further, then it's longer and longer. So how do you figure out how to do it? So you have to say like this. You go to Eretz Yisrael, you go to Bavel, and you see how to get 13 and a half minutes or 72 minutes. How? So that means the sun now is 72 minutes below the horizon. What angle is formed? In other words, when the sun goes below the horizon, it dips below the horizon, you're going to have an angle of declination. Because it's in other words, the horizon is here, and then the sun keeps going. So for the opinion of the Vilna Gaon, it's 13 and a half minutes. And for Rabbeinu Tam, it's 72 minutes. So once it's 72 minutes, you have to make an angle. What's the angle if you would draw a line from the sun that dipped 72 minutes and the horizon? How many degrees did it dip below the horizon? So if you look, says Rav Meir Posen, it'll be 16.1 degrees. So therefore, now go to New York. Well, I'm a New Yorker, or go to L.A., and see at 16.1 degrees below the horizon what time that will be. And that, says Rav Meir Posen, is the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam, because that works out with the reality of the darkness. So that's what Rabbi Black said to me once. He says, if you really want to keep Rabbeinu Tam, so I usually keep 96 minutes after Shkia, but in the summer, 96 is not enough for the opinion of what? Of Rabbeinu Tam, because if it's 16.1 degrees below the horizon, it's going to be like 10, 15 minutes longer. But then, so again, the Prima, and this is a sefer called Zmanim Bahavana. It's one of the best farm I've seen on Zmanim. Some Jew from Montreal wrote it. It came out a year or two ago. It's called Zmanim Bahavana. He really gives you a Havana about the Zmanim. So he points out the three shitas within Rabbeinu Tam. There's either the Prima Gadim, that it's 72 straight the whole year. And then there's the Rameya Posen. Rameya Posen, his brother's Dain Posen from Breuer's Kehila. And then there was another brother who was a big Talmid Chacham who taught physics in YU, Rabbi Peretz Posen, Dr. Peretz Posen, whatever. So he's Meir Posen 16.1 degrees. And then there's the opinion of the Minchas Kohen. The Minchas Kohen says that no, the concept of 72 minutes is only if you can't see the stars. But if you can see the stars, then you keep it what? Even whenever you see the stars. If you can't see the stars, you're in a place where the stars are not visible, then keep 72. This is within Rabbeinu Tam, he's saying. And you should know who held like this Minchas Kohen? None other than Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein Paskin, Me'iker Hadin, that 50 minutes after Shkia in New York City is Rabbeinu Tam. Which is, like Rav David Feinstein said, it's the counterintuitive of what we normally would say. Because I explained to you before that L'chor 72 is already in Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. The more you go further to the away from the equator, it gets longer, not shorter. But if you work with this Minchas Kohen, and my friend Rabbi Yaakov Hafen always says, in Europe, that was the minhag. That was the minhag. It wasn't, no one was keeping 16.1. I told you the story, the Chofetz Chaim. Look at the stars. So where were those stars? Those stars weren't at 72, they weren't at 90, they weren't at 96, they weren't in all these Zmanim. You saw the stars. That's the Minchas Kohen. Whenever you could see the stars, that's even Rabbeinu Tam. That's what Rav Moshe Feinstein said. I went on my balcony in the Lower East Side, and I saw, by 72, the sky was filled with stars. You don't need so many stars. You only need three stars. So it must be that by 50, for sure, you have three stars. And that's what Rav Moshe said. You want to be Machmir, you can keep 72. But Me'ikar Adin, 50 minutes is Rabbeinu Tam. That was the Moshe Feinstein's Shita. So that's, and again, and the Vilna Gaon, so people today who keep like 42 minutes, 45 minutes, you know, the standard shuls keep that. So either they're keeping Rav Moshe Feinstein's version of Rabbeinu Tam, which is the Michas Cohen's version of Rabbeinu Tam, that's where you can see the stars, or they're keeping an elongated gra. But the gra, as I told you, is 13 and a half minutes in Eretz Yisrael, in Bavel. So it's more in America, and but it's not that much more. So it could be that it's an elongated gra with, you know, making it relevant to New York, and then a couple of more minutes to make Tosefes Shabbos Lacharei. So you could understand it that way as well. But I always like to say that, now getting to some a little hashkafa here, is that there's a Zohar HaKadosh that I always like to point out. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, Kol b'chosu l'eilu otosu b'yom ha'shvi talyan. He says, all the bracha of the year, of the week rather, what's the generator of the bracha that we have? Is Shabbos. Shabbos gives us a bracha for the week to come. All the bracha that we get for the week to come is given on Shabbos. Is given on Shabbos. So that's why the Chofetz Chaim said, you know, I don't understand people are so rushed to end Shabbos. If we would really believe that the bracha is coming from Shabbos, so the bigger generator you have, the longer you want to keep. I know in certain people, you know, they're always looking at the clock. You know, it's a pressure on the Rabbanim. You know, if a Rav would speak at Shal Shudas and he'd be a little bit long, everyone would get, you know. But, you know, it's such a tremendous thing. So, you know, I love keeping a late Shabbos. And, you know, because, you know, besides the halacha aspect of it. Yeah, it's so interesting that, you know, in Shulchan Aruch, listen to this. In Shulchan Aruch, only the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam is quoted. In Siman Reish Samach Aleph. The opinion of the Vilna Gaon is quoted in the Vilna Gaon's Perish. But it didn't make it into Shulchan Aruch even. The Mechaber and the Ramah followed Rabbeinu Tam. And Rov Rishonim. So if you hold like Rav Moshe Feinstein and Michas Cohen, even the 45-minute people, or basically 50 the time you finish davening, are keeping this type of Rabbeinu Tam also. So, but that's a big chiddush to say that you do 45, you do 50, you're doing Rabbeinu Tam. So, but that, as my friend Rabbi Yaakov Havan pointed out, that seemed to have been the minhag in Europe. You see, even the Chofetz Chaim, because was saying, telling the Shamas, go out and look at the stars. Even the, you know, so it wasn't, you know, so clear, as he said, that people were keeping, but okay. You know, if you want to be Marech B'Shabbos, you still get, just like we said, there's a mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos in before Shabbos, there's a mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos at the end of Shabbos. So the more, now obviously after a while, Shabbos is over. You can't extend, you know, you have to realize the following thing. That even though you can do Havdalah until Tuesday, but you can't extend Shabbos until Tuesday. So what's the latest that you could extend Shabbos? So Rav Shechter, I think, said over from Rav Soloveitchik that three stars is Teisa Kachovim. Three stars all you need is to end Shabbos min adin. But when it says Kol HaKochavim, after a while, and my friend Rabbi Harari always discusses this with Rabbi Leich, what he calls Rabbi Harari, absolute darkness. You can look that in the newspaper, they'll tell you exactly what absolute darkness. There's a certain point that it's not getting any darker. So that says Kol HaKochavim. And that perhaps, like Rabbi Shechter said from Rabbi Soloveitchik, I believe, that after that, or from Beis HaRamban, it's not Shaykh to extend Shabbos anymore. Absolute darkness. But till you get absolute darkness, even the Vilna Gaon perhaps would agree. You want to be Marech to have a longer Shabbos, gesundheit. Because as we said, kol brachosu de le'elu tosu, all the bracha in the world is b'yom ha'shvi talyan. And you know, I always had a minug. You know, there's a famous story with the Satmar Rebbe. Satmar Rebbe was in a certain town, and he would give brachas to the people there. And then he was leaving the town. And the people said, Rebbe, you're here, we get a bracha from you. When you leave, who's going to give us the bracha anymore? And he said, you know what you should do? Go to shul during the part time where people are putting on their tefillin. And you'll see there are going to be some people with a number on their arm. That's who you go to for a bracha. That's who you go to. Somebody who kept his emuna, even going through what he went through, you get a bracha from him. So I had a minhag. There was a man in the shul that I was davening in before I got married. And he had a number. And I would be makpid every Motzai Shabbos to make sure that I got a bracha from him. Because I felt a bracha for the new week. And I wanted to get a bracha from this man. And it was the Shabbos of my Ofruf. I was getting married that week. And I said, oh, I'm looking forward to getting this bracha, especially on the Shabbos of my Ofruf. And sure enough, I come to shul Marv time, and he's not there. He's not there. But some of the Balabatim drove me to his house. Somewhere he wasn't up to coming to shul that Marv, and I got the bracha. I got the bracha. And that's because the emuna that comes from such a man generates a bracha. Like Shabbos is emuna, it gives us bracha. And it happens to be that Rav Chaim Picha Scheinberg was in the neighborhood that Shabbos. Also, I got a bracha from him. So, Baruch Hashem. But that's what the Satmar Rebbe told people. You know, I'm not here. Go to a person that you see he has numbers on his arm. That's where you should get your bracha when I'm not here. So, Rabosai, as we begin the new year, and Shabbos Breishis is always like an exciting Shabbos. You know, there's so much in Breishis. My oldest son was born on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, my oldest son. So Chol HaMoed Sukkos, when do you make the Bar Mitzvah? When do you make the Bar Mitzvah? You know, so you could say, you could read the Parsha, you know, from Chol HaMoed, Shabbos Chol HaMoed, but I believe every boy needs to have a Bar Mitzvah Parsha. Everyone's going to ask, what was your Bar Mitzvah Parsha? He says, he's not going to have a Bar Mitzvah Parsha. So we made up Shabbos Breishis is going to be his Bar Mitzvah. So he's already Baruch Hashem 15. So Shabbos Breishis was his, that was his Bar Mitzvah Parsha. And I remember it was the year before when we came home from shul, the night of Kol Nidre. He says, Abba, I want you to start teaching me the laning. And Shabbos Breishis, if you have the Bezer Shem, if you get my sefer that I just printed on Rosh Hashanah, I have all the drushes that were given for that Bar Mitzvah and my daughter's Bat Mitzvah at the end of the sefer on that thing. Okay, so Rabosai, there's so much to say on these topics, but as we begin, you know, this week's now the new cycle, we should be mechazek ourselves with Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. You know, we should try to do that on a regular basis. In fact, the Ravon says, this one sheet to quote in the Beis Yosef, that we Paskin, you always have to do it, but there's one sheet that says, thinking about last year, that you do Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum only if you're not going to be hearing Kriya Satorah and Shul. Then there's a Chiv. That's the sheet of the Ravon. And others say, no, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote that sheet. You always have to do it, even if you get Kriya Satorah. So I was thinking this year that many people, you know, didn't hear many the Parshias, but at least they had the Ravon if they did Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. A lot of people made it up, but a lot of people didn't make it up, the different shitas and that. So again, I want to thank you all. You know, I'm very happy that, you know, Shabbat, because this Parshas Breishis is just packed with everything. And so we discussed one aspect of Parshas Breishis. We could spend the whole year just doing Parshas Breishis. You know, it's like Rav Shlomo Kluger. He wrote Svarim on Chumash called Imrei Shefer. So two volumes, I got it. Then he came out with another Sefer on Brachos. And I said, okay, I'm going to buy the Sefer. I come home, and you know what I see? The Sefer is not on Chumash Brachos, it's on Parshas Brachos. And then he came, and then there was another Sefer just on Parshas Noach. So I stopped buying it. I said, I don't have enough room. So I let the YU library buy it. And then I could look at it. So now they have like 40 volumes that is still going strong to the Torahs of Rav Shlomo Kluger a la Parsha. Okay, I wish everyone a good Shabbos. It's so good to see you
Thank
all.
Thank you.
Have a good Shabbos to everybody.
And, Thank you. Good Shabbos. Thank you very, very much.
Okay, good to see you. Rabbi Mazer, Jonathan, Istrin, and Chaim Klotsch, Jonathan Ehrenberg, Mickey, Jacob, Ben, George, Brian Layton. Okay, good to see you all, and we should see each other again.
Amen.
Okay, cool.
Thank you. And Ben, I want to thank you for reminding me to send out the notices.
Okay, it's okay. But when I didn't know what was going to be the Shabbos, so then George called me Wednesday, want to do it. I said, Brachos! I'd love to do Brachos.
All right.
Okay, cool.
Thank you, Rabbi Simon.